Dun, dun, dun. Welcome, everyone, to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. Begrudgingly, I am Albie Shore, and I have Dylan Smythe. What do you want, Dylan?
Worst podcast intro ever.
Well, you know, I like to match the energy from the basketball program, so therefore I felt this was necessary.
Mm. Cheer up, Albie. The sun has risen. Greener pastures lie ahead.
I feel like it's kind of like that gif in Waterboy. The oh no, we suck again. That's how I felt after losing to K-State for the third loss in a row. And the team, and not only are we losing, the team looks bad, like straight up bad.
So everyone out there who feels like Albie, calm down, chill out a little bit. It's three losses in a row. Granted, it doesn't look good, but pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not ready to push the panic button on this team.
Oh, I am. Panic. Because all right, so
I'm not pushing the button, but I'm thinking about it. I'm looking at it.
Let's backtrack a little bit. So let's go back, shall we? Let's go back to how everyone was feeling on January 12th. January 12th, we just went on the road. We beat Texas. First win in Texas since 96, right? And at the time, we were 15-1, the eighth-ranked team in the country, looking like a team that's ready to potentially win a championship, right? Trey Jones from Duke just got injured. Like, Tech's now looking like one of the teams on a short list of teams that could potentially win a championship this year at that moment. Since then, Tech goes and loses to an Iowa State team that was struggling beforehand. Loses on the road at Baylor, and then loses at K-State, who has rebounded since the D-Wade injury, but still doesn't have Dean Wade. So, and now he loses to K-State, but gets blown out by K-State. So let's talk a little bit about that K-State game, shall we?
Before we dive in, Albie, let me just give you some advice. Young Red Raiders, freshmen, if you're listening, you'll learn this lesson, but let me try and teach you before you have to learn it. Temper your expectations as a Red Raider fan. Do not believe that a miracle is going to happen until you see it. Albie, and I'm sure you've learned this lesson many times, but you have forgotten, my friend.
No, the problem is that here's the deal. Here's the deal. I've never had that thought process because my belief is every year is a new year. Teams that have this trepidation early on, that's just a loser's mentality. That's what my belief has always been. Now, unfortunately, as a Tech fan, and I'm one of the fans that became a Tech fan when I decided I would go there. You know, I wasn't a Tech fan. I haven't been a Tech fan since birth. Right? I'm not going to lie and say I was. But as a Tech fan, yes, it leads to a long time. Virtually every season, I feel like I have heartbreak. But last year, the Red Raiders forced me to believe, right? They went to the Elite Eight. This team, they had a lottery pick. Like, they had me believe. And at 15-1, a top 10 team, they had me believe. And this team looks like money sign, pound sign, exclamation point, plus sign.
I don't. How many letters was that?
That's four.
Okay.
Yes.
Ah, got it. Another word for poop.
Yeah, yes. Poop sign emoji. You know, it just the team looks absolutely bad. So let's go ahead and dive into this this game, shall we? So Tech loses this game 58-45. Only Culver and Tariq Owens are the only players in double digits in this game. Culver had 17-7. Owens had 12-6. Moretti really didn't get the ball much in this game. He only put up 6 points. Matt Mooney, 2 points on the day. We're going to get a little bit more into him later. But, you know, the entire team, I mean, even Culver, 6-16, he didn't play good. Nobody played good in this game.
I mean, only Texas Tech could hold a team to 58 points and still lose the game handily.
Yeah,
it speaks one to our like defensive efficiency, but one to like our inability to create any offense outside of Jarrett Culver.
And that's legitimately the problem. Like last year, the way the team worked was we played team ball up until about 5 minutes in the game, and then it was Keenan Evans time, right? Early in the season, that's kind of how it played out as well. And instead, it was Jarrett Culver time. But now, Jarrett Culver time is starting with like 5 minutes to go in the first half, right? Like, And the problem is, and it's not that it's Jarrett Culvert time because it's winning time. It's Jarrett Culvert time because nobody else can make a basket.
Right. It's Jarrett Culvert time by necessity. And that's a real bummer.
That's a big
it's
problem.
It's too much to put on Jarrett Culver, and honestly, it's going to hurt his draft stock in the end.
Oh, it's killing it. I believe it's absolutely killing it. At the Baylor game in Waco, there were multiple scouts on hand. There were multiple scouts on hand, and they weren't there to see any Baylor they weren't there to see any Baylor prospects. They were there to see Jarrett Culver. Maybe possibly there to see Tariq Owens too, because I still think that he has a possibility of being a late second round pick. But definitely there to see Jarrett Culver. Like, that's who they want to see. They want to see the guy that's supposed to be a lottery pick. And the problem in that game, and Culver didn't have the best game against Baylor, but the big problem is he's being asked to do way too much. Jarrett Culver is at his best when the game comes to him naturally, right? When the ball's getting passed to him, he can pump fake, drive in the lane, and hit a floater. When he's hitting a turnaround shot, when it's coming naturally, not when he's forcing the ball into the basket, not when he's jacking up shots just for the sake of it. And that's what he's having to do right now because nobody else can make a basket.
You know, it's funny. I really like Fran Priscilla. I really do. He's a big international basketball guy. He likes the same style of basketball that I do. But it's so funny because this whole game, he was just calling, give the ball to Culver, give the ball to Culver, put him in ISO ball. And I'm like, no, that's the exact opposite of what we need from Jarrett Culver. Get him moving off the ball. Let people score off of him.
And that's I think what separates him from the Keenan Evans of last year, because Keenan Evans really operated much better with the ball in his hands, right? If the ball wasn't in his hands, you didn't see him making too many cuts. You didn't see him last year anyways. You didn't see him really doing too much off ball. When the offense flowed through him is when the team worked the best. Culver actually is on the other side of it. If we have situations where Francis is shooting well, Moretti is shooting well, Edwards is shooting well, other guys are making plays, then that's when Culver's at his best because, one, the defenses aren't keen in on him, and, two, he's a great off-ball scorer. I think his benefit in the NBA is that he's not going to be the primary scorer, right? Like, I don't – one thing about Culver is I don't see him being this, 30-point a game score in the NBA. I think his best benefit will be the fact that he can play off ball, that he will be kind of like a Covington from the 76ers. I spaced on his first name, but like he'll be that type of off ball defensive player that will be able to hit the spot of three when need be, will be making hard cuts, will be that type. That's when he's at his best, not when he's having to play hero ball because the rest of the team sucks.
You're right. Jarrett Culver's biggest strength is not his scoring ability. It's his ability to score efficiently. And when you're asking a guy to jack up shots, and Kansas State brought the double on Jarrett Culver immediately. They were daring someone else to make a bucket. And that's not a recipe that Culver will have success in.
And literally nobody else could. The Tech shot 33% from the field, 22% from three. And guess what? We actually hit our free throws this game. Like, so the one game where we're actually hitting free throws is the one game that we couldn't make a basket. I mean, it was just, I take that back. I said everybody played terrible. Tariq Owens was okay.
Tariq Owens is the only other player who gets a pass in this game. You did mention free throws. We made them, but I don't think we got to the line near enough. We got to the line 11 times. They got to it 22 times.
Oh, yeah, because we made stupid fouls. I mean, we made a very, very dumb record. So let's go on the K-State side of things because they did play well. I mean, they remember the time we beat them in Lubbock, and they came out and played well. Dean Wade actually was back in this game. He put up 13 points, and that was, I think, one big difference. They were able to space out the court with both Wade and Barry Brown. Not only that, but Stokes was money from the line. I mean, he didn't have a good shooting night, but they did. It was a couple really dumb fouls at the beginning of the second half. He went to the line, sinked his free throws, wasn't a problem at all. Rebounding, both Sneed. The problem is when the leading rebounder in this game is, how big is Barry Brown? 6'2", 6'3"? And he's the leading rebounder in this game?
He's the smallest player on the floor most of the time.
7 rebounds from Barry Brown? I mean, that's embarrassing.
Yep. But let me remind you something, Alvy. I've been talking about this Kansas State team for a while, saying that they're sneaky good. They returned 5 of 8 starters. They're an Elite 8 team last year. I think people forget that.
That's true. I mean, listen, they lost Dean Wade. When they lost Dean Wade, they had a couple games where they looked trash. They lost by 20 to Texas. They came back. They lost to Tech in Lubbock. And I'll say they played at times they looked trash, but they did play the game decently. Since then, they've actually been on a bit of a run, and they're actually right now tied for first in the Big 12. So you are right. K-State is have become a much better team, and they're going to contend for the Big 12 championship now that they're fully healthy, especially behind the big three of Wade, Snead, and Brown. You know, they're going to be a sneaky good. You're right. They are going to be a sneaky good team. But when you're a team that just 2 weeks ago had Final Four aspirations and you get beat down by this K-State team, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's I think at this moment, point in time, at the beginning of the season, if you were to say, hey, we're going to be 15-4, 4-3 in conference, we would take that. But considering 2 weeks ago we were 15-1, you know, a top 10 team, that's not good enough. You have to adjust expectations with how well the team's playing. And fact of the matter is, this team ain't it. This ain't it.
If you aren't adjusting expectations midseason, then you're not a Texas Tech fan. Just saying.
But usually you got to adjust expectations for the worst.
Yeah.
Not.
Well, our expectations are sliding downwards, aren't they?
And
let me just say this about Kansas State. They have officially dethroned us as the best defense in the Big 12. No doubt about it.
Are you saying just how they play?
Yeah. Defensive intensity, they're the best defensive team in the Big 12.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's West Virginia's still at it. I mean, West Virginia doesn't have the talent to win games, but I still think their defense is fantastic. That's why they're going to pull off upsets. It won't shock me if West Virginia comes to Lubbock and beats us. Who knows? This team sucks right now. I mean, team's fantastic. I will say this about this team. Before the year started, when everybody was saying, oh, man, I can't believe that, you know, Tech's rated 7th and 6th in the Big 12, 7th in the Big 12, I was actually the one that said, yeah, it makes sense because you have transfers coming over. You don't know how that's going to work. You don't know how big of a leap Culver's going to make. You don't know how some of the, you know, will the other guys, will the freshmen like Kyler Edwards will step up. You don't know how Moretti's going to do. And at the beginning of the year, they all proved me wrong. Right now, this is the team that I kind of was looking at saying I could see this team being it. Unfortunately, I adjusted my expectations thinking this could potentially be a Final Four team. Now I got to go back to how I was feeling before the season started where I was like, yeah, 7th best team. I can see it.
Well, and that's – Chris Beard even admitted, like, this team still has some chemistry, role building. They're still kind of figuring out the minutes. Like, this isn't a finely tuned machine yet.
I mean, I guess that's what you get when you have three – transfers getting rotation minutes, right? Like Mooney, Owens, and Corpru and Edwards weren't on this team last year.
And just the amount of scoring that we lost is insane.
Yeah.
And that's and it's showing right now.
Yeah, because nobody else can put the ball in the basket.
Nope.
Right? Brandon Francis is inconsistent as hell. And not only is he inconsistent as hell, he's going through a dry spell. He had one decent game in a midst of like eight bad ones.
A dry spell and he started.
And I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. Like, why is Tariq Owens on the bench for this game? Now, Tariq Owens got starter minutes. He played 33 minutes in this game, right? And so I guess, you know, I've never been the one to look at who's starting. I really more so look at the minutes. But I saw at the beginning of the game that he was on the bench, and I'm like, why? How?
Yeah, why? Well, I just don't see the point.
I didn't either. I didn't get it. But do you have that soundbite from Chris Beard?
You know, we're a team that's searching for a second option. We're searching for a third option. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to call out players. It's just not what I believe in. But it's pretty easy to look at the stat sheet and understand how this Texas Tech team was put together. Some of our guys have got to play a lot better individually.
Some of our guys got to play a lot better individually. Who is that guy?
He is talking. There's no doubt he's talking about Matt Mooney.
It has to be Matt Mooney.
No doubt.
I think Moretti's exceeded expectations. It can't be Moretti he's talking about. And it's funny because he's like, I'm not going to call out a player, but I think we all know it's Matt Mooney.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. Because he literally eliminated every other player it could be, right? Like, because because for one, he says we need a number three. We need a third leading scorer. And at the end of the day, Moretti's actually, even though Moretti is right now the number three scorer, he's actually doing a little bit more than than fans expected. He's doing about what I expected, that he'd be a 10-point-a-game scorer. He'd come out with big shots, and he's playing pretty decently. He took out the fact that you could have thought this could be geared towards Brandon Francis, but he literally said, you see the way the roster was constructed this year. You see some of the things that we did this year. You can tell, you know, so it's not Brandon Francis who's been on the team for the last 3 years. It's obviously Matt Mooney. Tariq Owens has played pretty well, right? Like, so, and let's talk about that, because we've talked about Matt Mooney this season being a huge disappointment. I tweeted the other day, Matt Mooney has by far been the biggest disappointment on the team. And we've talked about it. I mean, he is not what we signed up for.
No, he scored two points in this game. Like, no,
one for nine.
This has to be who he's talking about. And it's just, it's so unfortunate.
He was one of the hottest grad transfer recruits nationwide this year. He was the guy that, not just Tech, I think West Virginia wanted him. I believe maybe Oklahoma State. There was a lot of teams in the country wanted this guy. Wanted Boise State was after him. Wanted this guy to transfer to their school. Tech got him. It was actually a very good recruiting job by Chris Beard. I personally, over the summer, I was saying that I believe Matt Mooney came to Tech to potentially go in the draft. You know, why else be a grad transfer? To prove that you can cut it in a power conference and to potentially go to the NBA. That's why you do stuff like this, right? Before the season started, I thought Matt Mooney would be our leading scorer.
And not even a grad transfer, but like a grad transfer from a small school to a Power 5 conference, like a good basketball conference. You're right. He's trying to prove himself. And so far, he's not doing a great job of it.
Didn't he lead all mid-majors in scoring last year?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but I would not be surprised.
He was up there.
Yeah.
He was up there. And so let's talk about him versus another guy, right? Ja Morant. Ja Morant plays for Murray State. It's a mid-major school. Ja Morant was also playing for Murray State last year. He's a sophomore this year. Ja Morant is going to be a top five pick in the NBA. Ja Morant has daily ESPN clips of him doing Vince Carter dunks over seven-footers of, you know, averaging. I think he averages right now like 28 and 10 or something crazy like that. Ja Morant's balling. And I gotta look it up, but I believe that they averaged about the same amount of points last year. I think actually Mooney might have averaged more last year. So how is it that Ja Morant is right now a top five NBA? But no, actually, So Ja Morant averaged 13 points a game last year, 13, and is right now averaging 24 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds.
I think the only unfair fair part of this comparison is the fact that Ja Morant is an athletic freak. That dude is like Russell Westbrook athleticism.
Well, okay, at the same time, you're right. He's very athletic. Athletic
so that's why he's a top five pick.
Well, now Mooney, though, but he's showing it. It's not like he's a top five pick because of semantics. He's showing
it. Right, yeah.
Right? Mooney, on the other hand, who's supposed to be a sharpshooter, his first year at Air Force, he put up 39% from three. Right, 39, 37, 35, and then this year 33%. He's 72% from the line from free throw. So let's compare his stats from last year when he was at South Dakota. Down 15 percentage points from field goal percentage, down 35 percentage points or 25 percentage points 3-point percentage, and down from 83% to 72% free throw percentage. All worse. Worse rebounding percentage. A worst rebounding average, worst assist average, worst steal average. And so some of those, I get that you don't expect him to necessarily have the same amount of points as he had at South Dakota because he's going to share the ball a little bit more. But percentage-wise, shouldn't be worse. Assist-wise, shouldn't be worse. Steal-wise, shouldn't be worse.
I kind of have a theory based on those numbers. And maybe it's because Matt Mooney has never not been the dude. In high school, I'm sure he was a baller. He was the guy. He got a college offer. He went to Air Force first, right?
Air Force first, yeah.
He was the dude there. Then he went, where was the next stop? South Dakota? I disagree,
because he wasn't the dude at Air Force. He only averaged 7 points a game at Air Force. He was not the dude. And he still had...
Theory debunked.
He still had a pretty decent field goal percentage. He had his highest three-point percentage that year, 77% from free throws. The only thing that was worse than this year, he had fewer assists and fewer steals because he didn't have as many minutes. Well, but percentage-wise, he was much better.
I don't know. Chris Beard has got some figuring out to do with Matt Mooney.
Yeah, and he started every game. I believe he started every single game this year. So it's not even like he's not getting the opportunity to play. Like, he's doing everything you could have thought. or wanted from him. He started all 19 games this year. And I believe him and Culver and Moretti may be the only ones that have started every game this year.
Because Tariq Owens got benched
Got benched. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it got benched. We talked about it, but yeah.
So I'm gonna compare his stats, his per 40 minutes. So that's gonna take away the Air Force or anything like that. The fact that he played less minutes at Air Force or less minutes wherever. Per 40 minutes, this is his lowest assist per game per 40 minutes. Second lowest steals per 40 minutes, lowest blocks per 40 minutes, most turnovers per 40 minutes, and fewest points per 40 minutes.
It's just watching him, he just struggles to find an identity in this offense.
His offensive rating's at its worst. Everything's at its worst. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it, and I get it. I understand. One thing I do understand is the competition's tougher. You're in the Big 12 now, buddy boy. I get that. But some things that I'm comparing to are things that won't matter regardless of conference you're in. You should be better. You should be better than this. You thought you could hang in the Big 12. We're giving you every opportunity to be great in here, and it's just not happening. It's not working.
Let me ask you this, Albie.
Yeah.
Something more mysterious than the curious case of Matt Mooney. Kayvon Moore. Against Iowa State, he played 3 minutes. He checked into the game, and then we haven't seen him since. What's up?
That's a good question. I mean,
Kayvon Moore's why put him in for 3 minutes?
Yeah, and he's an interesting case.
What's up?
And you could argue that maybe Beard doesn't think he's ready, but if you didn't think he was ready, why even put him in the first place against Iowa State? It's not like he played enough minutes to really even get a look to see if he was ready.
He didn't even – the only thing in his box score is minutes.
Yeah, you would think that you would maybe play him more minutes as it goes on to get him more accustomed. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if maybe they're trying to get now you got to get a medical redshirt if you're going to redshirt him. But
if you need a guy who can provide some scoring, maybe look at the highest rated Texas Tech recruit ever at his time.
Yeah, at his time. Good save on that one because my boy is coming next year. But I don't know. I don't know. I can't really explain the Kayvon Moore thing. I understand wanting to take precaution on it.
Right,
but I believe it's now been it's almost a year now since his injury. It's at least been 10 months.
It's right over a year. I think it was like a year when he checked in. Like, that was the day. It was almost a year.
Yeah, and it was an ACL injury. Those are usually
it was Paul George-esque.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just ACL.
No, Paul George-esque, like bad.
Oh, in that case, then I would take some precaution on that. I didn't know that. I did not know that. I always thought it was a torn ACL. So the fact that it was Paul George-esque, dude, I'd redshirt him.
At least that's what, like, I heard it was compared to. I don't know how similar, but, like, bad, ugly knee injury.
That type of injury. I mean, it took Paul George a few years to get back to how he's playing now.
Right.
Gordon Hayward doesn't look like himself. I forgot the guy's name from Louisville, but he was a borderline draft pick before his injury, and now he'll probably never play high-level basketball.
Gordon Hayward is only not himself because he has, like, 5 daughters, and he's just exhausted.
as a father of a daughter.
Daddy is always happy.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite gender announcements of all time.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Kayvon Moore has a defensive rating, but not an offensive rating, because I guess he never played offense in the 2 minutes.
He didn't take a shot.
I guess he didn't touch the ball.
It's possible.
I don't remember it. I really don't remember. I just remember him checking in, and then before I knew it, I looked at the TV, and he was no longer there.
Yeah,
so
I was so hyped. I was like, yes, Kayvon Moore, and then I took a piss, and he was gone.
I don't know. But that's another curious case. I'm not really so sure of it. But what do you do if you're Chris Beard now? Do you bench Mooney? I mean, it's not like Kyler Edwards has played much better, to be honest. The difference between the two really is that Kyler Edwards is a freshman. You kind of expect it from a three-star true freshman. You don't expect it from the guy who's supposed to be this sharpshooter. At the very least, we expect him to be a sharpshooter, right? Like, worst come to worst. Yeah. If he couldn't do anything else, we expected, okay, at least he's going to be a good stop and pop.
Yep.
And he can't do that. And it sucks because for him, he's either timid to where he has games where he refuses to shoot the ball, or he has games like against K-State where he's shooting and he can't make anything.
Yeah. So I think it's time to explore starting Kyler Edwards, and I think this next matchup is the perfect time to do it.
Nice segue there, Dylan.
I set him up, you knock him down.
So let's talk about the next matchup. So Tech's going to be playing Arkansas this Saturday on the 26th. It was going to be the last of the Big 12 SEC showdown, as the Big 12 will be playing the Big East starting next season. So with this, Tech is going to play Arkansas next. And this is a product of, I guess, you know, the Big 12 conference and ESPN not thinking Tech's going to be that good this year, so setting us up with a matchup against Arkansas. So thanks for that. So we get a nice, much-needed break from Big 12 play and from playing good teams.
You stole my line. Yes, this is a much-needed break from Big 12 conference play. Thank God. And I think this is the week where you could explore starting Kyler Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, this is the game that Culver should win by himself. I mean, this is – Arkansas is not a good team. I mean, just point blank, they're not a good team. Arkansas's best win this year is probably over an average Indiana team who they beat by a point. Their next best win is over an A&M team that's below 500, that's 7-10, right? And they beat them by two. You know, they beat Texas State by three. I'm just trying to show you how bad this team is.
Their next best win is a loss against Florida by three.
Yeah. this is just not a good team whatsoever. If you want to compare them, let's compare them to maybe some – I guess they're not Billy Gillespie Tech bad, but they're early Tubby Smith Tech bad. Like, that's probably how bad of a team this Arkansas team is. They've lost four straight themselves, including that loss to Florida you were talking about, loss to LSU, and then two road losses to Tennessee and Ole Miss. We're recording before this Missouri game, but most likely they're going to probably lose to Missouri. Well, Missouri's not that good of a team either, but I'd guess they would lose to Missouri too. I hope they do. So I hope they're on a five-game losing streak before they come into Tech. So we can give them their number six, but we couldn't be playing this team at a better time.
However, Tennessee and Ole Miss are both very good basketball teams this year.
Yeah, but Arkansas's not.
No, they have one player, Daniel Gafford. He almost averages a double-double. I expect to have some trouble with him. He's a big. I'm always scared of bigs against Texas Tech. But other than that, eh.
Yeah, and so that'll be an interesting matchup, Daniel Gafford versus Tariq Owens. I think Tariq should be able to handle his own against Gafford. Gafford is a guy that I think Tariq really only struggles against big men that like to bring him out. And I won't say that Tariq struggles with that. I would say that Tech in general struggles with that, because I think the thing that a big reason why I think Tech lost the game to Baylor is the fact that they just brought their big men out. And it was or to Baylor and Iowa State was the big problem, is they brought our big man Tariq Owens. They brought him out to the perimeter and it was just layup city. And so I think the fact that, and actually against K-State was the same thing now that I think about it. Having big guys try to guard Dean Wade or any of those guys, you bring them out, Tariq goes with them, it's layup city. There's nobody else that can really defend unless Odiasi's in the game. And Odiasi doesn't get too many minutes. He only averages about 15 minutes a game. Only played 8 minutes last night or against K-State. So in this game, Gafford's not a guy that's going to bring you out to the perimeter. He's definitely a low post scorer. And with Odiasi and Owens being staying in the middle, I'm okay with that.
It probably bodes well for the Red Raiders. However, it's a matchup that should be interesting to watch.
Yeah, we got to get back on the right track is the fact of the matter. And yeah, this is not a conference game. We're still going to be 4-3 at the end of this weekend. We're still going to probably get knocked down to I think we'll still be ranked, but maybe like 21st, you know, 20th or something like that. If we lose, we're out. But so they got to really get back on the winning track, because we play Kansas next week. And thank God we're not playing them this weekend, because if we're playing this weekend, there was zero chance we would win. At least if we can get a win against Arkansas, maybe another win against TCU, then we're on a better track going up against going into Lawrence, Kansas.
And that's another reason why I think Tech fans should pump the brakes, because we should beat Arkansas and we should beat TCU.
I don't really know about the way the Tech team's playing. I agree with Arkansas. That should be an easy dub, because I think Arkansas would be the worst team in the Big 12 if they were in it. But TCU ain't that bad.
No, but I think Arkansas is really a blessing, because I think it gives Chris Beard room to tinker a little bit, and we're st- and he's still comfortable enough that we're going to win that game, despite tinkering with rosters and minutes and the offense, obviously.
Yeah. So, speaking of TCU, they're actually playing right now against Texas. What's the score of that game? It's actually a 2-point game. TCU at home against Texas, which it's the TCU home game, so it's probably it's probably more like a Texas home game. But
right.
But yeah, I mean, Texas has to ride the ship. They have to ride the ship. So let me ask you this. So I'm gonna shout out one of our Viva riders. Jacob Harris put out a great article today. How do we stop the bleeding? How does Tech stop the bleeding? And he basically compared this three game losing streak to the big losing streak we had at the end of last year, whenever Keenan and Zach Smith were both out or hurt, I should say. So how do you think we should stop the bleeding?
I think starting Kyler against Arkansas, I'm not saying it's going to fix anything, but I think it's worth exploring. And I think Chris Beard's just got to get real with Matt Mooney. And I think he kind of did, and I have a feeling there was a talk behind closed doors. He's just going to be like, look, man, like I know you have it. Something's wrong, you know? Something with Matt Mooney, he's just got to get with him in a closed door, get in his head, see what's going on.
So going a little off of what Jacob put it.
Kayvon Moore.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because we've actually, you know, Jacob's actually basically said everything in his article, a lot of what we've been talking about. One of the things, and I beg everyone who's listening to this to read the article, because it's a good one. He talks about bringing Matt Mooney off the bench. He talks about starting Brandon Francis. And that's interesting, because they basically be switching their roles. I mean, at the beginning of the season, you wanted Brandon Francis off the bench, because I personally thought he'd be a really good sixth man off the bench. But it'd be switching their roles. It'd be having Brandon Francis, who has a little bit more chemistry with guys like Culver, like Moretti, and then having Matt Mooney be the spark off the bench. And that actually could work.
Well, and not only that, we haven't seen Francis play big minutes. Maybe when we expand his minutes, he expands his game.
Possibly.
It did start
this last game, and he only put up 2 points. But
I don't think his minutes are really expanded. Just because he started doesn't necessarily play more minutes.
Yeah, that's true. I think switch the roles of those two, that could help. Another thing that he also talked about was Kayvon Moore. Talks about maybe him coming in a little bit. And so that's something for Beard to decide whether Moore is healthy or not. I'm not really going to say Kayvon Moore, because I don't know behind the scenes what's going on, right? Like, I don't know if Kayvon Moore if they're playing it day by day, and some games lately he just hasn't looked good in warmups. I don't know. So I can't really say that they got to play Kayvon Moore. If Kayvon Moore looks like trash, but you know, before the game, we can't play him. But I do think the idea of swapping Brandon Francis and Matt Mooney completely could work. I also think expanding David Moretti's role. I think Moretti's our second best player on the team. I think the big three right now is Moretti, Owens, and Culver.
Yep.
And I think you kind of ride those three to the end and try to figure out everybody else. Because I think those three are the guys that are playing well throughout the season. Culver's been the star, but then give Moretti the ball. Let Moretti operate. Let the offense run through Moretti instead of running through Culver. Because, yes, Culver is our best player, but that doesn't mean you have to run the offense through them. I personally, I'm a guy, and sorry, people, I also watch Duke a lot. I'm a Duke fan. And the Duke team this year, personally, I believe their most important piece is Trey Jones. And when the offense runs through Trey Jones, they're at their best. When it runs through R.J. Barrett, he plays hero ball, and they lose to teams like Gonzaga, right? Like, that's what happens.
And you're starting to see hero ball from Culver. Whether or not you like it, you're starting to see it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think it's his fault. I don't think he's a selfish player like I think R.J. Barrett is.
No. He's doing it out of necessity.
He's doing it out of necessity. And that's not – I think if you start running the offense through David Moretti, let Culver play more off ball, let Moretti give more spot-up shots to guys like Culver, like anybody else who decides to make a basket. Then, you know, I think a big problem in last night's game also was that Mooney tried to create his own shot. That ain't your job. That ain't what you do, bro.
Nope. So, okay, let me ask you this. We're getting a little lengthy here, just FYI. But let me ask you this. If we are expanding minutes for Moretti, if we're going to put Kayvon Moore in the rotation, if we're going to get Kyler Edwards a start, who's losing minutes? Obviously, Matt Mooney would be in this scenario.
Yeah, I mean, Odiase already doesn't get many minutes, even though he starts. Last night, he only had 8 minutes. Like I said, he averages about 15. So he already doesn't get too many minutes.
Minutes got to come from somewhere.
That's a very good point. And you know what? That's why I'm not the head coach.
Stumped you.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know where you would get the minutes from. You know, and I guess a way you would do it is basically taking minutes from everybody and expanding the rotation a little bit. Because one, if you get more, you're already doing a 9-man rotation, right? You're already kind of going to have to be taking the minutes from guys that don't need the minutes cut in the first place. And so if you swap, so I'm looking at the roster right now. Another guy that's probably going to get his minutes cut with Kayvon Moore coming in, DeShawn Corkery.
Yep. That's the one.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer because Corkery's playing really well. I've been so impressed with Corkery this season.
But if Kayvon Moore gets minutes, it's going to be coming from Corkery.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. That's it.
So, so that's it. So before we end this pod, because it is the Big 12 SEC showdown, so let's do this quick, shall we, Dylan?
Rapid fire.
Let's talk about the games going on this week in the Big 12 and the SEC. And we are going to start it off with, let's talk about a couple ranked teams, shall we? 24th ranked Iowa State at 20th ranked Ole Miss. This is one that whoever did the matchups got right, even though I'm pretty sure they didn't think either team would be this good.
Yeah, I'll say this really quickly about Iowa State. Now that we've lost three straight, I think Iowa State's the favorite. I don't want to say clear favorite, but the favorite to win the conference at this point. They have the most depth of any team in the Big 12. They have six guys that can get you 10 points every night. We struggled to find a third.
Hey, you're hopping on the Iowa State train. I like it.
Yep.
What do you think about this game?
Hold on. You know, I'll be totally honest with you. I haven't watched an Ole Miss game at all, but I know I like Iowa State, and I think Iowa State's going to do the Big 12 proud. Get it done.
I don't. I have watched Ole Miss this game this year, and Ole Miss is good. This is the best Ole Miss team since Marshall Henderson was there, and they're probably better. Actually, they are. They're better than that old Marshall Henderson team. This is a really good Ole Miss team, a dark horse to win the SEC altogether. Actually, I don't even think they're a dark horse anymore. They're just a horse.
Well, I don't know. They're fifth in the conference right now.
I mean, they're good. They're a good team. Give me Ole Miss at home. Next one up, also a morning game, Alabama at Baylor. Who you going with? Old Mavs coach.
You know, I do like Alabama this season. I was a little worried with the loss of Colin Sexton. You know, like how are they going to replace that scoring? But Avery Johnson did it. They have a Kira Lewis, another freshman point guard, who's done just that. He's replaced exactly what they lost in Colin Sexton, and I think they'll get the dub at Baylor, unlike what we were able to do against Baylor.
Not so fast, my friend, again. Give me Baylor at home. Alabama in the last few games hasn't played great. They lost to that crappy A&M team. And then they also just got spanked by the Ole Miss team. I said it was really good.
Lost to Tennessee by 3. Just glaze over that one, why don't you?
Yeah, because it's not important, all right?
Number one team in the nation.
That doesn't go with my point. 3 points. Okay?
Why I brought it up.
I don't think this Alabama team is very good. I do think that Lewis is good, but I don't think he's as good as Sexton. I don't think his team is as good as last year in general. Give me Baylor at home. Next up, another morning game, Florida at TCU. Who you got?
You know, I haven't watched a whole lot of Florida, but they always seem to have a very consistent product year by year. And I don't like what I've seen from TCU so far, even though I guess they're having a close game against Texas right now, which bodes well for them. But yeah, I'm going to go with the SEC and the Gators. Chomp, chomp.
Yeah, I mean, TCU lately also hasn't played very well, losing 3 of the last 4. But in those 3, they lost at Kansas, at ranked Oklahoma, and at K-State, who will be ranked pretty soon. If they win this game against Texas, this TCU team is not that bad. They're a pretty decent team. Give me TCU. Did you go with Florida?
I did.
Dang, we're just going to be opposites this entire time. I'm going with TCU at home. And who knows, maybe that game will have more Florida fans too. But I still, TCU's used to it. So give me a TCU at home. We're finally dipping in the afternoon with this next one. South Carolina at Oklahoma State. Will we agree on this one?
Depends on who you're picking. I'm looking at, I wanted to look at South Carolina's schedule. They beat Auburn, a good Auburn team, lost to LSU, beat Vanderbilt. I don't know what to think of this team because I never watched them. So give me Okie State at home.
So this is probably the only matchup where the better coach is in the SEC. And though they went through a stretch where they lost four in a row earlier this season, lately they've been playing pretty well. Now they've been playing pretty crappy teams, but that win against Auburn was huge. Frank Martin has his team playing pretty well. And on the road, I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Oh, I think they're gonna win this game. Frank Martin's there now.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go with South Carolina in this game. And four games in, we haven't agreed on a single matchup. I like it. Next game, Texas at Georgia. Rematch of the Sugar Bowl. Who you got?
Give me Texas. Give me the Horns. Big 12.
Texas at home. Will we agree? Yes.
Yeah, this actually is the pick we agree.
Yeah. Georgia sucks.
11th in the SEC.
Yeah, the only team I think they're better than is maybe Vanderbilt. I think they're probably even worse than A&M. They're just better. I mean, Georgia, like, legitimately, you know, the SEC really doesn't care about basketball. Georgia doesn't even fake it. Like, they really do not give two craps about the sport of basketball. So they had that little magic moment back like a decade ago where they were like the 10th ranked team in the conference and made it all the way and won the SEC tournament. And that's like their claim to fame. That's when they had Sunday out of games. And that's their claim to fame of being a crappy team that happened to go to the NCAA tournament, and that's it.
I was about to ask, who's the last decent player to come out of Georgia?
Yeah, Sunday out of games. He played for the Jazz. He was like on a couple 10-day contracts for the Jazz.
I don't know who this guy is, so.
Come on, man. He had that run where he like put up like 20 points and hit a game win in the regular season. Everybody's like, oh, man, he was playing in Europe just like 2 weeks ago. It's crazy.
You lost me at Georgia basketball.
Sunday out of games, he's the only person I know from Georgia, to be honest. And that's only because I'm a basketball head. Most people listening to this podcast will not remember him whatsoever. So we finally agree on that, Texas, for both of us. Next game, K-State at A&M. We'll probably agree on this one, too. Who do you have?
Yeah, I have a pretty good feeling. We're both picking Kansas State in this one. Texas A&M is not good at basketball. Even though it's in College Station, Kansas State gets the dub.
Yeah, big dub for K-State. I don't even know if A&M fans will even show up for this game. I think K-State will blow them out of the water. So, yeah, pretty easy and straightforward. I'm so sorry for West Virginia. I really apologize, but you're going to be playing the number one team in the country, the best team in the country. They're not just number one for no reason. They're the best team in the country right now. Who do you have?
I was going to say, we disagreed four times. Now we're going to agree three straight. Obviously, Tennessee is going to roll West Virginia in this game. And it's funny because last season, this would have been a great game to watch.
Yeah, for sure. But this Tennessee game is good. I really wish Tennessee would have played Texas, though. Like,
that would have been great. Who screwed that up?
It's because the SEC is so scared of, you know, controversy in their games. Because that would have been awesome. That would have been absolutely awesome to see Rick Barnes play his former team. Rick Barnes has done a tremendous job at Tennessee after Texas fans wanted him gone so badly.
That team would have destroyed Texas, too.
Yes. Oh. And that would have been the game that they would have fired Chaka Smart on the spot. Maybe that's why they didn't want
to
do it.
Walked up to Rick Barnes after the game. Sorry, bro. Here's a contract.
Yeah. Please come back. But Tennessee is going to wax the floor with West Virginia, especially since it's a home game. I would have given West Virginia a chance if this was in Morgantown, but it's not. So another big gap between talent, Vanderbilt at Oklahoma. We're gonna agree on four straight, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of the same. Like, Vanderbilt is arguably the worst team in the SEC. Oklahoma is not the worst team in the Big 12. It's at home, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's contending for the Big 12 championship as well. Lon Crew is actually being able to show off his coaching ability now that he doesn't have to force it down one player's throat. So, Oklahoma wins doing pretty handily. So now we get to some primetime action. 9th-ranked Kansas, 8th-ranked Kentucky. Who do you have?
I don't trust the Kansas Jayhawks. The Kentucky Wildcats are coming off 5 straight wins, 2 against ranked teams in Auburn and Mississippi State. Just because I don't trust Kansas, I'm picking the Cats in this one.
Honestly, I don't really trust Kentucky that much. You know, the I know they started the season. I think they were like, what, number two in the country to start the season. I think they got blown out by Duke. They kind of went under the radar. This Kentucky team doesn't have the – and I won't say they don't have the stars they usually have because they still have the stars. They're just not maybe the number one, number three, number five players in the country like they usually are. But that being said, this is a game where I would have went with whatever team was at home. And Kentucky's at home, so I'm going Kentucky. Kansas isn't good enough to go into Rupp Arena and win the game. I mean, that's just that's just a fact of the matter. I just don't think they're talented enough to do so. And so I think this is a game where if Bill Self pulls this off, I do think Bill Self's a superior coach, mind you. Like,
ooh, let me just say that's that. A hot take.
Yeah, I think so. I think Calipari's overrated as a coach, in my opinion. Most games he loses, he's the better. He has the more talented team. That's just me.
I think you can make the argument that Self's a better coach, but Calipari is a better player developer. You could. We don't have to make the argument because we're on a long pod. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but Kentucky at home, and they're not missing. They're not without their best player like Kansas is. So, yeah, give me Kentucky. Give me the Rupp boys. This is a game I will not be watching because I could give two craps about either program.
Well, and our game is at the same time. So
yeah, that too. That being said, Arkansas at 14th ranked Tech. I'm not going to lie. If I actually cared about Kansas, Kentucky halfway through the Tech Arkansas game, I'd probably switch it because Tech's disgusted me lately so much. But who do you have in this game?
You know, I might switch it depending on how this goes, but I have a good feeling in Lubbock, Texas Tech's going to rebound. We're going to do some, I expect to see the minutes, the rotations be shuffled up a little bit, but I expect to see the Red Raiders win this game.
You know what's funny? I'm on ESPN. And you know, when you look at the scores of things, on the side it tells you tickets and how many tickets are available and how much the price is going for. Only two matchups in the entire Big 12 SEC setup has more expensive tickets, like things you can get, than Arkansas-Texas Tech. So this right here, it's a crappy matchup. Arkansas is a bad team. Tech is coming off of three straight losses, yet you can get a cheaper ticket to 24th-ranked Iowa State at 20th-ranked Ole Miss than to this game. That kind of tells you just how great Tech is, the fan base is this year. I mean, the only two games that are more expensive are West Virginia at the number one team in the country and two top 10 teams going up against each other.
This tells me two things, Albie. One, Chris Beard is connecting with the fan base, and two, there's not a lot to do in Lubbock.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. You could drink.
Those are the two conclusions that I'm drawing. You could probably drink cheaper at the basketball game than you could at Chimmy's, so.
Yeah, but that being said, is there really that much to do in College Station? Athens, Georgia? Stillwater, Oklahoma?
No, but we at least, we also have an exciting product. Well, sometimes.
Yeah, don't tell that to the Texas Tech basketball team. I know it sounds like we're it sounds like we're kind of pessimistic about the team. They will resurrect it. Beard is a great coach. We are going to turn it around. But it is okay to be critical of this team because you have to be. When a team is good, you got to be critical of them. They're not playing very good right now. This team sucks. Does that mean we're not supporting the team? Of course we are. Of course we're going to be there for the good times and the bad, but this is one of the bad times right now. This is a team that should have their eyes set on contending for the Big 12 championship, set on going to the Elite Eight and higher, and set on making history. And right now, the way this team's played the last three games, this ain't it.
Ditto. What he said. That sounded good.
So what you got for the people, Dylan?
Nothing. We said all we need to say. I'm donezo.
There you go. That's Dylan Smythe. This is Albie Shore. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. Stay wrecked, people.